Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible soccer podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with Vishal.
Hey
after
guys.
A long time.
I'm back.
And Karan.
Hey guys.
So this is Soccer Sense, where we talk about all the things that make sense on the football field, and we don't get into talking about new managerial appointments like Jurgen Klopp till there is enough evidence to talk about them.
Absolutely.
So we are not
making sense first.
So we are not the podcast which analyzes every hand gesture of Jurgen Klopp from the first game. But nonetheless, we do have a lot to talk about. Packed show, because we are back after about a 3-week hiatus. And it looks like Arsenal are also back from a 3-week hiatus.
No, maybe there was a trend going there.
So Arsenal, big turnaround. We know what happened against Bayern Munich midweek in the Champions League. Before that, that outstanding game against Manchester United. I'm looking at you, Vishal. And a fantastic win against Everton yesterday. Three good back-to-back-to-back games. What is Arsenal improving on? How is Arsenal finally stringing together the results they should be?
I think the biggest change that you can see in the way Arsene Wenger is setting up is that they're willing to play even without the ball, because Arsenal are always a team that were known to, you know, play well with the ball, but without the ball they were a little devoid of ideas and weren't really sure as to what needed to be done. But here in the last few games, you could actually see glimpses of this even last season, especially when they beat City, if I remember correctly, I think at the Etihad. And so they're actually willing to be a bit more pragmatic, but at the same time they haven't really lost that charm of theirs going forward, because they're still scoring bucket load of goals, and the first 20 minutes against United was quite evident in that change
so,
in
so,
approach.
So like an Arsenal fan said on Twitter yesterday, Arsenal fan called Shravan, he said, looks like Arsene Wenger has finally discovered that there can be a plan B to everything.
Correct.
That's the case, Vishal?
Yeah, for sure. So this whole plan B started off, I think, evidently against Liverpool last season, then against Man City, where it succeeded very well. So it is something that Wenger slowly starting to think of, and finally even the players are starting to play like it and they understand it, most importantly. But yeah, we've seen three great results, but this is where the challenge for Arsenal comes in, where consistency is going to come. We've always said this in the last 3 years, that if Arsenal are consistent, they will be up there no matter what. But that's where the problem lies, that you do not know what you can still expect from Arsenal next week. So it is something that Wenger needs to sit down and make sure that consistency is clocked in week in and week out. That's what championship teams are made of. And secondly, I think one big difference is, even against Bayern Munich, the defensive discipline has been amazing. And I think that has come down a lot to Petr Cech, especially because he's a defensive leader. I mean, not just a goalkeeper, he's one who's constantly talking to Mertesacker, constantly talking to Koscielny, and making sure the right moves are made at the right time, and which was clearly seen, as in the shape that they maintained against Bayern Munich was amazing. And
so this is a very interesting point that Vishal brings out. The importance of a Petr Cech as a leader at the back.
Absolutely. It's great. A goalkeeper is more than just a shot stopper.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at all the great goalkeepers with all the big teams. I mean, they always need to be, or rather need to have, a sort of a commanding presence, and they should be quite vocal, and more importantly, they need to be able to organize the defense in front of them.
Yeah.
And which is what Petr Cech actually brings to Arsenal, which wasn't the case with earlier goalkeepers like Chesney, etc.
Right? The earlier goalkeepers were not top level goalkeepers. They were never a Van der Sar, they were never a Petr Cech.
So if you go back into Arsenal's own history,
when
they had an outstanding back four, they had David Seaman.
You need to understand that the goalkeeper is the guy who's got the vision of the entire field at all times of the game, because he never really concentrates only on the ball till you are actually there. So he's got a peripheral vision of what's happening on the flanks, he's got a peripheral vision of who's making the run. So it's very important for him to talk to defense, for him to maintain shape of that defense, and which is something that you can see Petr Cech doing. You can see Monreal's performances this season.
I think the guy who was actually waiting to happen is
been absolutely brilliant, and including against Bayern Munich, where they thought they will double team Monreal and attack him, and it did not work. Bayern Munich had to completely change strategy in the second half because of that. So I think Petr Cech
I think the key is when there's an upcoming goalkeeper, you know, even in his earlier days, I think regardless of his shot stopping ability, regardless of his athleticism, what they really need to think is, someday is this guy good enough to actually captain a team? Which basically means, does he have the leadership qualities? Does he have that commanding presence? Which is so important.
So the most surprising thing of the season is not the fact that Arsenal are top of the table, but it's the fact that Arsene Wenger's best acquisition this season has so far been a mid-30s goalkeeper.
Absolutely.
Which is not something you'd associate with Arsene Wenger.
Correct. And it's about time he realized, because I think he's a decade late on making a purchase like this, where he should have bought a great goalkeeper immediately after David Seaman. I do not know why. So I think it's become a trend with Wenger seeing purchases late. So let's see. But yeah, like I said, it's going to come down to consistency. If Wenger maintains consistency, they're going to be champions of any second.
Key is, I mean, after having played so well against teams like United, Munich and Everton, you wouldn't be surprised, knowing Arsenal, next week they go and mess up against Swansea simply because they completely change their tactics.
Which is what you probably, hopefully, do not want. And speaking of change in tactics, we come down to the other London team, which sits at 15th in the table right now.
Along with West Ham.
No, they're fourth.
So West Ham sit at fourth, and the team they beat yesterday, 2-1, Chelsea, sit at 15th. We really do not want to waste too much of footage on Chelsea.
We're going to sound like a broken record over and over again talking about Chelsea week in, week out. But they've pushed us.
So what's broken in the Chelsea record now?
Everything.
This is the thing, right? So the players are still great players. There is no doubting that. It's just a sheer lack of confidence. It's just so much banter around Chelsea, so much limelight around Mourinho and the things he's saying and the things he's pointing out.
So let me refine the question there. Is Mourinho's antics having some kind of an impact on the dressing room?
Evidently, right? Evidently. As in, this is the same guy. So, for example, we all know Eden Hazard is not a great defensive player, but I'm sorry, but that's not his job in the team. That's like expecting Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi to fall back and defend. There are some players who are not made for defending, and you need to respect him for that. So, yeah, that's where the challenge lies, and that's the thing that Mourinho does not need to come out and say this out loud that Hazard's not a team player. Why do you need to do that? I mean, first of all, he's struggling with his confidence. The second thing that you do is go out and pull him out in public and say he's not doing well enough. Then you bring in a substitute Matic at halftime and then take him off 20 minutes later. What does this do to the squad? There is no certainty there. No way of knowing what's happening. And I think it's starting to take a toll across the thing, but nobody's being vocal about it. But I think Mourinho is really losing the plot.
I think it's reached a point where, I mean, for so long Mourinho's been blaming everyone else and everything else around him without really taking any responsibility and any onus on looking at himself and looking at the mistakes that he's done, that it reaches a point where even the players start questioning if this person is really, you know, made
and
of that.
It's a quarter into the season, so you really can't say that it's early days. Or
exactly.
Just a
I guess in many ways you could say the signs were there in the Swansea game, but I guess it's reached a point where I doubt if the players still have the same amount of respect for Mourinho that they had before. And I'm talking about guys like Terry himself.
And let's go back up the table and right up at the top and close this out with obviously looking forward to the derby in a couple of hours' time, the Manchester Derby, United versus City. City, obviously the informed team. United have been
up and down
throughout.
The key is over here. City start off like a house on fire, had a couple of blips,
and back,
and they're back again.
And they're now back at Arsenal.
Now the thing is, with all the great players that they have, with all the amount of money that they've spent, when players like Kompany, Aguero and Silva are missing, they just look a completely different side, irrespective of the quality that they have on the bench, which is quite surprising in many ways. I mean, I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. So Vishal, quickly, what would Manchester United need to do? This is a home game for Manchester United, so what would they need to do to run City early?
Basically, I think Van Gaal needs to cut out the tactical masterclass bullshit. He needs to figure out that there is a team that actually is his best 11 out there. He needs to put it out. He needs to do the basics right. He needs to win the midfield battle. And there is a chance to win the midfield battle, because United do have a bunch of midfielders, the likes of Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin and Mata and Herrera put together can outplay City's defense and midfield. And if they win that, United will win this game.
Honestly, on that note actually, if you ask me, I think Schneiderlin or Schweinsteiger are good enough to take on Yaya Toure. So you keep Yaya Toure quiet in that midfield, you can get at City. And the most important thing, United need to play similar to how they played against Everton. It was basically a throwback to the old United.
Yeah.
So we hope that's what it is in this derby, which should be a very interesting game. We will bring you that and more from the Champions League and the rest of the leagues in the upcoming episodes of Soccer Sense. In the meantime, that's all the time we have this week. This is Tariq signing off from Soccer Sense, along with Vishal.
Pray for United, people. Pray.
And Karan.
2-1 to United.
And pray for your way.
Please.
So we're available on iTunes. You can look us up there at Soccer Sense, and we're also available on Stitcher if you get your podcast from there. Look us up there. Thank you, people. See you next week.